niggas tryna get it, yeah bitch.
Yeah bitch.
Hit that house, yeah, they tell me is you with it, yeah bitch.
Yeah bitch.
Home,
yeah,
invasion was persuasive.
Was persuasive. Was persuasive.
From 9 to 5, I know it's vacant, yeah bitch.
Yeah bitch.
Dreams,
yeah,
of living life like rappers do.
Like rappers do. Like rappers.
Back when condom rappers wasn't cool.
They wasn't cool. They wasn't.
I fucked Shireen and went to tell my bros.
Tell my bros.
Then us Shireen and let it burn.
LGTV.TV. Welcome to the baby face and the beard segment of LGTV.TV.
Babyface and the beard. Today's only the G and the T. That's Gary and me, Trey. We're gonna do a fire take today. On our previous podcast, I'm gonna start off a little bit. I'm gonna let Gary take over. We know that what's his name got fired, Jason Garrett, or he gonna get let go. And we both saw the Cowboys interview Marvin Lewis, and I said from the jump that I think the Marvin Lewis interview was probably just a Rooney Rule thing. I think a lot of us feel that way. Gary had a great perspective on that, and I just wanted to give him a chance to expound on that again. We're going to give it to you straight, you know, so if you get your panties in a wad, you know, you might not want to listen to this podcast, but I'm going to let the beard, I'm going to let Gare Bear take over. How he feels about the Rooney Rule. Go ahead, Gare.
Oh, thank you, babyface. but we're talking about the Rooney Rule. Rooney Rule was created from one of the greatest men in football, a part of the greatest organization in football, the Pittsburgh Steelers. But it was born out of
boo.
It was born out of a pure love of the game and love of people. You know, it was built to give minority coaches, black, brown, whatever color he is, an opportunity to become a head coach, to lead men, and to see it become tarnished and circumvented over and over again. Now it's a shame. We had great black coaches like Denny Green. Denny Green did the same for the Vikings. Had one of the best one-liners ever. Crown them. They're all who we thought they were. Like, that's classic.
Yeah.
That don't happen without the Rooney Rule.
Yeah, yeah.
And it pisses me off to see retread coaches get interviews every year. And when I say retread, I mean trash-ass coaches. Below 500. Poverty line coaches. You know what I'm saying? And they always getting the job. Oh, he's a legend. He's great. He's intelligent. So why the hell he went 6-10 last 3 years?
Right.
You have coach Jeff Fisher is my prime example for white privilege and narcissism in football.
Yeah.
Because if you look at these staffs of any NFL team, they have brother-in-laws, nephews, cousins, brothers, sons. Anybody they're related to is on that staff. Or anybody they went to college with is on that staff. High school on that staff. It's all about connections. And when the system is built like that, it's hard for us to come up, black or brown. All the minorities come up because you got to climb through a river of shit to come up just to get to the clean water and shit. We ain't Andy Dufresne. Andy Dufresne was white. None of us going to come out dirty or going to go through a river of shit and come out clean. That ain't going to happen. I live in the real world. That does not happen.
So how do you feel about the Rooney Rule itself, or what can we change about that? How do we get more people of our color, or people that are the same color, dominate the sport? I mean, it's like 85% black, right? So how do we get more of those people in the management positions, coaching positions? Is the Rooney Rule good? I mean, what do we do?
We need more coaches to truly take a stand, black, white, any coach, general manager, president, to step up and say, this is not right. Somebody needs to be the figurehead and be like, hell no, we ain't doing this no more. You know what I mean? Somebody got to take that risk. But you know, taking a risk is you might get blackballed. You know what I'm saying?
I got a question. So let's say we got up to 50%, because I think we're probably less than 10%, you know, in management coaching positions. Let's say we get up to 50% that are minorities. They ain't just got to be black. I mean, Hispanic people, anything, you know.
Yeah.
You think Kaepernick would have a better chance of being legal, or would he already be back in the league, you think?
No. Still, you know why?
Why?
I'm gonna get political for a little bit. I don't even like talking politics. Half the time I'm ignorant to the fact. I'm gonna bring up the Obama thing. Yeah. People are saying Obama didn't do nothing. Yeah, for some people he did, some people he didn't. But do you think they would have gave that man real power to really make changes like they did Trump?
Probably not.
Probably not. I use that same way in the NFL. It's always gonna be that one coward motherfucker gonna be like, hey, I ain't fucking on my shot. I just got my little run as a GM or president or something like that of operations. I'm not gonna fuck my shit up for the next man. We have too many of those, too many Chicken Georges out there. You know what I'm saying? A lot of Stevens, a lot of yes sir boss, a lot of tap dancing. We need people who don't give a damn about the consequences and just do it.
So, I mean, do we just do away with the Rooney Rule, or what?
Oh no!
I mean, because like I said in the actual episode we did, episode 15, if you do get a black coach just to sit in front of you because of the rule, he may have something that you like that you hear him and be like, okay, this dude ain't as bad as I thought it was just because he was black. He's actually a decent football coach.
Right, with Rob, I'm glad Ron Rivera got another job, because I think he's a really good coach. Not great, but he's really good. Yeah. He's a good locker room guy. He fights hard, but I feel like he was dealt a bad hand with a management who was over him. You know what I mean? But as far as other coaches that are black and brown, I feel like you hear the same names get mentioned for black coaches, but they never really get a true interview, like Bieniemy. Who's with now? Bieniemy. I forgot he's with Kansas City. You always hear these names. You always see these retreads get jobs. I don't see Leslie Frazier getting another job no time soon.
What about the coach out of Miami? You think he gonna?
Brian Flores. Yeah. I think he did a great job getting that team to never give up. Because I'm all about, if you trash, if you're a trash team, it's okay. You'll get better in the long run, but at least have some fighting, have some dogging. You know? Right. Be a tough season, be a tough out. And he did that the last 6 weeks of the season. Now, that gave him that vote of confidence.
Now, wasn't Miami the team that earlier this year people were saying, I want out automatically? Want that to make up 50?
Yes.
That was okay. Okay.
That's the same team. But I also believe that Brian Flores was learning on the job. He made a lot of mistakes early.
Yeah.
With his players. Kenny Steeles is a prime example about when he had criticized Jay-Z or something like that. And, you know, Brian, I didn't know Brian Flores is from Brooklyn.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he's from Brooklyn. So I read a little thing. He was playing Jay-Z all day. You know, the tit-for-tat petty bullshit. And the rub players the wrong way. You got to be a grown man and realize you can't do this shit no more. You're not a position coach.
Right.
You know, you are the head coach.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, of course, Mike Tomlin is one of the great all-time coaches, but I feel like he is. And I don't care about the Steelers a lot. I don't think – of course, nobody thinks he's really an X and O's guy. He's a great motivator. But, you know, how long has he been with Pittsburgh? Is he going on 10, 11 years now? Or
It's going to be his 11th year this year coming up. And I feel like he is a bad rap. I'm just saying he's a player's coach. I think he really is an X and O's guy. Yeah. It's just because his personality is so big, how he handles the media and his players overshadows his coaching acumen.
Right.
So I understand why he was pissed 2 seasons ago about his reputation.
From like, how do we get more Mike Tomlins, or how do we get more black coaches that get a chance to have, you know, 4 or 5 years, see what you can do, and then keep a job? How do we get? You know, I mean, he didn't, like you said, he's not the Jeff Fisher kind of guy who just started out as a D coordinator, was he? Or, you know.
Jeff Fisher started off as a D coordinator. Like, he was out of the league for 2 years as a player.
Right.
His first job was a coordinator.
Saying, so, Mike Tomlin, did he have that, you know, just born into the kind of luck, or what he started?
No, he did a slow grind, man, coaching at colleges and being on other people's staffs.
Yeah.
But he was known as a Bucks defensive back coach. For a while, he won a Super Bowl with them as a DB coach.
What team
was that? And that's how they found him. That's how the Steelers found him.
What team was it?
Buccaneers, Tampa Bay.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that.
But he's on a few staffs for a while, you know, doing the college grind, college coaches, and got him into the NFL. And he got his, I think he was the Vikings too, the Vikings DB coach. He was the Vikings DB coach, I think, or one of the defensive coaches. Then he was in Tampa Bay. And he won a Super Bowl as a defensive back coach.
Cool.
And Rooney's, who started the Rooney Rule, found him.
Yeah.
And a third coach in, 54 years when teams like Cleveland on their 20th, 30th coach.
Yeah.
And 15.
Firing people on the, you know, on the spot.
Yeah. Cleveland is where great coaches have come to die. Romeo Crennel, he was a former head coach of the Browns. I think that was his only head coaching job. And I feel like with the Browns, it's like what happened to Hugh Jackson. Like, we already know we're not getting opportunities to do anything as a head coach, so we get desperate and we're just gonna take the first job. That's usually Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I'm a prime example. Look, Steve Wilkes. Look what happened to him. He was in Arizona for a year, and they let him go for a guy who didn't give him a chance to make go 2-3 years in. They let him go for a guy who had a losing record in college, Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, yeah.
We can go Todd Bowles. We keep going. You know what I'm saying? Todd Bowles is a D coordinator now with Bruce Arians again with the Bucks.
Yeah.
I can keep going. A lot of guys. What's that great? It's a lot of great coaches out there on defensive staffs. That's black or brown, minority coaches. It's at the point now. I think I heard Shannon Sharpe say they're not even taking any. They don't even want to take interviews because they know they're just there for a statistic.
Just there for the room. Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's where it gets construed right there.
Because now you know when people in football feel this way, they're like, I'm not going to go for this because they just use me as a statistic. And I'm done. So it's discouraging great coaches to even go for the opportunity because you know they're being used. Jeff Fisher, back to what I was saying about Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher is a prime example of white privilege in football. He was out of the league, I think, I looked it up on Wikipedia years ago, me and my cousin. And he got hurt as a player and was out the league for like a year or two, came back, D coordinator. I don't know what team it was, but he's D coordinator. Next coach job, D coordinator. Next job, assistant coach or something. Then by his fourth or fifth job, he had the Titans. He did his thing with the Titans for a little bit, and he ran on reputation. He was terrible. He was a terrible coach. He was right at 500. Terrible coach.
Yeah. I was even blinded by that. I look back at Jeff Fisher. I just saw his tenure there and how long he coached. I thought he was a good coach. I look back at his numbers. I'm like, he got to that one Super Bowl. I don't think he ever won one. And he was just a 500 guy. Like, he shouldn't have stayed there that long. Like, it was pretty pathetic.
Because nobody stayed that long. You know, he was with the Oilers in Houston. There, when they moved to Tennessee, I was like, oh, we got to keep him here.
And then he coached in St. Louis for the Rams or something like that? Or
yeah, he coached with St. Louis and went to tournament with L.A.
Yeah.
I think, and it was over.
Yeah.
He was terrible. Like, Goff under him looked like the bust he truly is. That's why I say when you have a great offensive mind, you can turn shit into sugar. And that's what McVay has done with Goff, but the wheels have fallen off on that run because we've seen the deficiencies. I was saying even their first year, like towards the second half of that first run that they had with the Rams his first year, they started taking Gurley's hands and putting it in Goff's hands. And every time they did that, they struggled. They might have won a few games, but they struggled because he's not built to lead a team or carry a team.
Yeah.
But yeah, that snooze fest in the Super Bowl last year because Goff was
a great day. Patriots won. Anytime Patriots win anything, it's not a snooze fest. It's a great day, okay?
I know it's a great day for you, but that was a boring-ass Super Bowl.
That was great, man. You don't like defense,
Gary? Take care. It was a great defensive battle because I'm a defensive guy. I love that.
Yeah, it was great. Man, back and forth. I mean, just back and forth, stop on third down, punt the ball. I mean, it was not. That sounds boring, but I mean, like, it was great.
It's not that boring, but it's the fact that you saw that Goff can make throws, and we said this before, probably through our chats and stuff, text messages, that the NFL has figured out McVay. But back to what we really want to talk about is this room rule. But like you say, Fisher's a 500 coach. He's Jason Garrett with the mustache. You know what I'm saying? Personality. A little fiery personality. That's all he is. He's Jason Garrett on steroids. Mm. Instead of clapping, he yells at you. Yeah. But I feel like you have to take a shot in the dark, man, and actually give these black and minority coaches a chance to really fail. Don't take a Cleveland job because it's the only job there. That's why I mean, Jackson, Brandon Cornell, a lot of coaches. And then I really feel like the guy from the defense coordinator for Niners, Saleh, I don't know how to really pronounce his name, but I feel like he should get a look. I know he's not of the Caucasus Mountains, so I know he's something.
Dumbass.
Shout out to Cat Williams on that one. That's how I know it. But I just feel like they should take more chances on something new. These old white men who own these teams, these billionaires, they're afraid they're going to hire people that look just like them. And that usually means they're being conservative. You're going to get these same coaches that's been on five or six different coaching gigs and never won nowhere.
That's the word.
Prime example. Conservative. That's good. That's the main word. Yeah. And let's look at Marvin Lewis real fast. I've been shitting on Marvin Lewis every day like Stephen A. Smith. But look at it. You know, like think about it. He had the same roster minus a few players that Zach Taylor has. And he never went. And he had them competitive and winning games. They won six games last year, I think, right?
Yeah.
Look at them this year. They won, what, two? Three?
Pitiful.
Pitiful. Pathetic. And Joe Burrow is not going to save the Bengals. And I'm taking my bias away as a Steeler fan. Joe Burrow couldn't beat out the boys. Sometimes you see the opportunity in a hot run, and you can be a number one pick in college football. That's all you need. All that talent he had around him at Ohio and LSU, they made him like a star. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, the Bengals, when Tommy Shea compared him to the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. I am not spending a first-round draft pick, number one overall, on Andy Dalton. That is not worth the hype. But I just feel like because they're conservative, they want people that look like them to be head coaches. Excuse me. There are a lot of great minority coaches, black, brown, Chinese, everything. Even female coaches, we have some. We need change. And that's for that to change, or we need to change, we need people to step up. And these white coaches, black coaches, would be like, hell no, nah, ain't doing anything.
I don't know if this is going to be relating in a sense. It was kind of like, you know, the age of the black quarterback is coming upon us. I think that's going to have the talent scouts is also going to look a little different at quarterback talent. So maybe that, maybe some way that can change as far as black management. Maybe we get somebody. And like I said, we have Mike Tomlin successful. I guess they're ignoring it, but maybe we get some black coaches and management to, you know, make some different kind of changes, and maybe our owners will look at it like, okay, let's actually give them a chance. Let's stop being conservative.
They quick on the draw, man. They quick draw McGraw when it comes to firing black coaches.
Quick draw.
It don't make no sense. Steve Wilkes had one season in Arizona. That reminds me. Byron Leftwich didn't get an interview. Byron Leftwich, the former Jaguar franchise star, the legend of Marshall.
Yeah.
He did a great job of what he had in Arizona. He had Kyler Murray running around throwing touchdown passes. And if they had a better defense and a better team overall, they would have won more games because they lost a bunch of leads, at least five leads in games. So Byron Leftwich is on the rise to me. Byron Leftwich would be one of those next head coaches if somebody gives him a shot. Mr. Bienemy with Kansas City. It's a lot of great position coaches out there that's minority, black, brown, Chinese, name it. That's all the NFL right now. Who are afraid to even take an interview. Because another problem, another example, Joe Judge, bro. I didn't know who that was, man.
Right.
Yeah, he was a great special teams guy. Patriots special teams was great. But even you know, he didn't coach up the wide receiver. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the Giants just went. That's fuck that. That's the most prime example of minority coaches getting screwed. Herm Edwards. Well, yeah, he was a decent enough coach, but they should have just on Herm Edwards. His record better than all these coaches that's always getting a shot. You hear Chan Gailey name every now and then. North Turner name every now and then. You got all these dudes getting third, fourth chances after they even failed. When a black man failed one time, you stuck as a coordinator if you're lucky.
Yeah. Herm Edwards had to coach the Jets.
Yeah, Herm Edwards, like I'm telling you, black coaches have gave you some of the greatest wins and victories in NFL history. It gave you some of the best one-liners. We play to win the game. Come on, man. We need to be paying him for the rest of his life off that. That's advertisement. You know, we got one line of days. And one more thing, and I'm done on like that. Look at Andy Reid. Andy Reid is a great coach, but let's be honest. He's a choke artist. Look at all them great teams he had with Philly, and he lost all of them in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, Andy Reid ever won a Super Bowl? I just don't remember.
No, he's not won a Super Bowl. He went to one Super Bowl. That's it. One.
He's a regular season
Yeah, he is Peyton Manning. I love Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is my favorite quarterback of all time. He is a Peyton Manning of coaching. He looks great in the regular season, lighting it up, but then his head gets too big and you abandon the run. Like the first year with Mahomes, they abandon the run with Kareem Hunt and Kareem Hunt's on fire. They abandon the run, what they do? They lose 3 or 4 games. Then what they do, they last year, they lose because they start slow. When the Chiefs start slow, they lose games. And that's even with Mahomes. Even before Mahomes, they're 1-7 in home games in the playoffs. 1-7. This is what Andy Reid. 1-7, bro.
Yeah, with talent like that, I mean, Andy Reid's a good coach. You got to win. Eventually, you're like, you know, you can't get us over the hump. We got to do something different, you know.
Exactly. They got nobody brings this up, man. Nobody has brought this up. Analysts in football last 10, 15 years.
But since he goes on to win 11, 12 games every regular season, you really don't, they don't, you know, they don't say nothing.
You don't have no mind, but it's about the playoffs come around. Probably my best moment, because you can't just say, oh, they had a bad quarterback. Alex Smith was balling for them. They had great defense. This when they were 1-7, this one they had the great defense.
Yeah.
With Tom Haley balling, Houston balling. They had guys at corner, Flowers, all that. They balling. I remember one game, the game they had against the Colts. The year the Colts went, that bum ass Colts team went to the conference championship against the Patriots and lost. They had 2 or 3 touchdown lead against the Colts? Yeah. And they flipped because of all their running backs got hurt. Both passers got hurt. I don't care what happens. You got a 3 touchdown lead, you should know you ain't losing this game.
Right.
I call that body bag. I call that game the body bag. Because I remember I watched it, everybody was getting hurt. But you still do not lose the game because you just lost your running backs and you lost your passer. But you know what you still have? Your starting quarterback. Right. You still have receivers. You still have other guys, the next man up. And that's to me, that's one of his worst defeats. But you that's just with the Chiefs. You can go back to the Eagles all the times they lost. The year, 2002 year, when the Bucs won the championship, they destroyed the Eagles. Yeah, think about it. I will give Donovan McNabb credit. He didn't look really great until he got Terrell Owens, because when he got great receivers like Deshaun, when he did get Deshaun and Jeremy Maclin and Shady, shit, he was over the hill by then. You remember who their wide receivers was back in the day? Ferguson, Pinkston,
James Thrash.
Oh, bum ass niggas. Antonio Freeman. Like, I can remember the bum ass receivers he had. You try to play mad with the Eagles, you like, fuck. What am I throwing it to? Let me make a trade.
Throw the Darren Sproles out the backfield.
They didn't have Darren Sproles back then.
I think I played the Patriots anyway.
Yeah, he didn't like. But think about
what they had a what's his name? What's the running back name, man? Dark skinned dude. I can't think of his name.
Shady?
No,
Westbrook.
Westbrook. Yeah, Westbrook. That's right.
Yeah, Westbrook was the engine that made the offense run before Terrell came. Yeah. Terrell came. But I just look at all the weapons that Andy Reid has had as a head coach with the Chiefs and the Eagles, and he only has one Super Bowl appearance, and that's a loss. Then you got one. Then you have all those conference championship appearances with the Eagles. I think you only have one championship appearance with the Chiefs, and that was what, last year.
Yep, and the Patriots went into Kansas City.
If it wasn't for offsides, the game was over. Because you know Tom Brady threw that pick. The game was up. That was it.
If it was a fifth, if you coach the guys up the state, do the most basic thing is line up on your side of the ball.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there you go.
And just look at the personnel issues with the Chiefs.
LGTV.TV.
One more thing before we close out. I just have an issue. My main issue with the Rooney Rule and the main issue with the NFL period when it comes to minorities is they believe that we're not smart enough. We weren't smart enough to be a center in the NFL because they got to make calls for the line and the offense. They didn't believe we were smart enough to be quarterbacks in the NFL. Great, great college quarterbacks that were black had to go to Canada Chabal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You had to, Warren Moon had to waste years before he got a shot in the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
Cunningham. We can name it all day. The great quarterbacks at the ball. Cunningham was Michael Vick before Michael Vick with a better arm, better accuracy, way better passing. You know what I'm saying? We had to fight and claw just to get up one step. One step, one flight of stairs.
The movement is coming. They can think that we're not smart enough, and you know all that good stuff. But I mean, it's here. You know, well, shoot. When, like I said, when we had one or two black starting quarterbacks, you know, we're up to seven or eight. You know, it's here. It's gonna take over.
You gotta keep pushing. I keep just gonna close it out. Close out our short take of the baby face and the beard.
Baby face on the beard, LGTV.
Yeah, we out. The beard is out.
We out. So next episode, listen, share, like, all the good stuff.
Yeah, we'll be another episode of the Baby Face and the Beard next week. This is our hot take segment of the LGTV.TV. This is your boy, The Beard, a.k.a. Gary, a.k.a. Monroe, a.k.a. Smack a Bitch. And this is Baby Face, Trey, Travoy Spelling,
a.k.a. AKA Trigger Tray, AKA Sugar Tray. LGTV, one love.
One love.
When I was sleeping on the train, sleeping on Mesero Lab out in the rain, without even a single slice of pizza to my name. Too proud to beg for change, mastering the pain. When New York niggas was calling Southern rappers lame, but then Jack and I slang. I used to get dizzy spells, hear a little ring, the voice of an angel telling me my name. Telling me that one day I'ma be a great man, transforming with the Megatron Dawn, spitting out flames. Eating whack rappers alive, shitting out chains. I ain't believe it then, nigga, I was homeless. Fighting, shooting dice, smoking weed on the corners. Trying to find the meaning of life in the corona. Till the 5%ers rolled up on the nigga and informed them. You either build or destroy, where you come from? The Magnolia Project's in the third ward slum, It's quite amazing that you rhyme how you do and that you shine like you grew up in a shrine in Peru. Question 14, Muslim lesson 2. Dip diver, civilizer 85er. I make the devil hit his knees and say to our father, abracadabra. You rocking with the true and living. Shout out the lights out, Joseph I, Chewy Bivens. Shout out the Baltimore, Baton Rouge, my crew in Richmond. While y'all debating who the truth was like Jews and Christians, I was on Cecil B, Broad Street, Master, North Philly, South Philly, 23rd, Tasker, 6 Mile, 7 Mile, Hartwell, Brasher. When niggas really would pack a U-Haul truck up. Put the high beams on, drive up on the curb at a barbecue and hop up out the back like, what's up? Kill a nigga, rob a nigga, take a nigga, bust up. That's why when you talk-